Well, that was a very fun time, as all of you who are here know, and as evidenced by the crowds on the autograph lines, I think that was one of the highlights of Utah's history. And I'm just pleased to be here tonight at a reunion for that team who made such a difference in our state. And we're appreciative that these wonderful players would come and share their time with us 20 years after the fact. So I'll leave it at that and let one of these guys
John has talk. To go first.
Are we asking questions or are we volunteering stuff? What do you want to do?
Volunteer.
Volunteer stuff?
Tell them what you want to tell them.
Well, I think the real neat thing is that we're invited back. This is a great experience for us. We a lot of us haven't seen each other for 20 years or thereabouts. We sat around last night with Coach and a little bit of a round table and just absolutely had a blast. And for you guys to care enough to go to the expense to bring us in, let us be big shots for a while and be a part of that, once again, part of this great organization. It's quite the thrill. So thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Jerry.
Coach, you're the only one left.
I thought you were going to ask me a question.
With that, why don't we open it up to questions?
When you and Larry were listening to the
Let's go back over that.
Game six.
Change not working.
You were the top. I didn't hear
that. Couldn't hear you.
You weren't on at the top.
Gail, the moment when you and Larry were listening to game six in the parking lot, what was that like?
It was very, very tense. We were trying to divert ourselves from being so intense with those games. So we were on our way to dinner. We had Zane with us. We were waiting in the parking lot for the shot, and it came. And everybody, I think, remembers where they were at that moment. And it was kind of unbelievable, as evidenced by your jump when you made it. But just a fantastic night and a dream come true, actually. We experienced such a high level of emotion from that point until we were through playing that it was, if you weren't there, it's hard to describe. But it was really fun to watch the transformation of the arena to the big time, to watch the NBA take it over and bring in their crews and elevate the event, the experience for everybody who came. It was just magical. It was really fun.
Coach, did John run the play that you had called? And also, what was going through your mind? Could you just describe the emotions that you had?
We went to Chicago the first trip.
Yeah, in the game six of Houston when he hit the shot there.
I don't even know what happened after that. I was so excited, and that excitement wasn't what I was about too much. But the most important thing is we kept our fans here. We lost 56 games, and everybody it was a big thrill for us to keep our job. But that showed a great deal of interest in our team with the fans and the ownership, obviously. And I think it's second to none in the NBA.
You see, we had a chance to watch some highlights of after the shot. Coach's knees looked pretty good as well after that. When the shot went in, you were bouncing up and down pretty good on that court, Coach. So
that's all the bouncing I could do.
Coach, what have these last couple days been like for you to be with your old team and maybe some guys you haven't seen in quite some time? What have the emotions been like to reunite with your old team?
I don't like to be old. That's the first thing. Is really realizing this is the end of the road pretty much for you as far as playing and coaching. And I've been lucky to be able to stick around as long as I have. And this organization has been more than fair to me and my family.
John, when the play was called in the huddle and then it starts to happen as you come out of the timeout, can you kind of take us through? Were you surprised how open you were and, you know, what you saw as the play happen?
Yeah, it's tough to recall every part of it, obviously. The what I do recall is that's a play, we ran that play a ton. And there's 50 variables to it, depending on how the defense plays it, how the, where the pass comes, where, you know, there's just a lot of things that go into it. I remember that I think I was supposed to curl and try to get the ball fairly early on in the play and try to make a play, try to get in the paint, find a shooter, make a shot, whatever. And I just remembered as I started to curl, it felt like the whole Houston Rocket team was waiting over there for me just to curl right into them. I knew that wasn't going to work. And then Carl turned around and set a phenomenal screen on I think it was Clyde Drexler. Again, forgive me if it's somebody else. And then the ball was in my hands. I mean, that's, Brian didn't get paid to pass. But when you think about the timing of the game and how crucial that is, the ball was in my hands. In the blink of an eye, he read the same thing we read. And the ball was in my hands. There was a lot of territory there. I even had a chance to take a dribble and size it up. And I remember the only thought I had as I was taking the dribble was follow through, finish the shot. You know, with guys like me, we don't have the purest of jump shots. So I just wanted to make sure that it snapped through straight and let her fly. And I guess the rest is history.
My legs got a lot better after he made that.
Jerry, you saw Jeff Hornacek last night. What advice do you have for him? Now he's coaching the New York Knicks. What kind of advice do you have for him? And did you always think he might be a head coach?
He did most of the coaching in the back of the plane after the game. He was a great player for the organization. It's amazing. When we got him, I think we won 14 or 15 games in a row. And that was tough times, but I think our guys enjoyed competing. That's what we do, preach to them as much as possible when we're playing. Of course, we had great players, and it didn't take much for them to get fired up, but the fact that they stepped on the floor and come back after losing the playoffs the first round with Chicago and then come back and try it again a year later, it takes players like that. Yeah, everybody knows John and Carl, but players like John you'll have to excuse me. I have a problem that I can't get back on, so go ahead.
All right, well, Jeff would draw plays in his hand. He's a guy, he could keep the stats of everybody on both teams on the court at one time, and he was drawing plays. I mean, that would drive me crazy, and he'd draw plays on his hands, so he was always very involved. I think we all knew he'd be a coach. And Coach said we won 15 straight games or something like that. I think it was 15 straight on the road, which was a whole new territory for our team. So he was beyond impactful when he came. He was the perfect fit for us.
John, you know, it's really rare to see players like you and Carl spend their whole career within just one franchise. Even though Carl went to Lakers in his final season, but he still decided to come back and retire here. So what do you think this loyalty means to the team, to the fans, and the city?
Well, I think loyalty, kind of that door swings both ways. And we were blessed here. Coach laid before him, Mr. Miller, Mrs. Miller, they made it known they wanted us to stay. We wanted to stay. There was no reason to look. The grass wasn't greener somewhere else. We were excited about the next year coming back, learning more about each other, learning more how to keep climbing that ladder together. And to me, that kind of what charges me up anyway. And so the loyalty was there on both sides, and the opportunity was what's rare. Everybody's always looking, I shouldn't say everybody, people sometimes are looking for that greener grass when often it's right here. You just have to work it a little bit yourself.
Gail, I'm curious, if Larry was still with us, what would he be thinking today? And maybe if you can give us an insight to maybe what some of his recollections of that 97 team were.
I often wonder that myself. I keep thinking, I hope I'm doing all the right stuff. But I think he'd be really, really, he was a sentimentalist, and he would have been very happy with this reunion. He would have maybe thought of it himself and enjoyed having these guys here. And you know how he played before the game, went out and scrimmaged with them and got right into it. And it was just part of life for him. But sitting next to him in the stands was a little more difficult for me because every play he'd hit my shoulder. And then if we It was very interesting because if we played well, of course he was ecstatic. If we played well and won, that was even better. If we played well and lost, that was okay as long as we played hard. But when we didn't play well, he always felt bad for the fans. He said, they're not getting their money's worth, and I feel so embarrassed for this product. But that was rare, but he was just such a purist, and he believed so much in these guys and what they could do that anything less than their very best was hard for him.
John, this is a little random, but a couple of us were talking about this logo change that happened right before you guys made that finals run. What were your thoughts as players when you saw those jerseys come out?
Well, I remember Larry asking me about changing jerseys, and I said, nope. You know, I know my opinion. I didn't want to change anything. The Yankees don't change their logos. It was kind of my attitude, so why did the Jazz have to change theirs? But anyway, he took my advice and put it where it mattered, I guess, and out came this logo, and years later, you look back on it, that's the logo, really, that we went to the finals in and had our, you know, some of our greatest experiences and memories as players, and so I'm kind of torn now, but I do like the originals are pretty nice.
Okay.
One more, last question.
John, you played so many seasons where you played the 82 games, and now it's in vogue to rest players. And Greg Popovich has said just in the last few days, well, we have science now we didn't have then. So kind of your perspective on how it impacted your career playing all those games and what you think when you see guys sitting now and hear Popovich talking.
Well, I think this could get windy. I think the big part of the game is your preparation and your toughness, both mental and physical toughness, and I don't know that it's always tested if you're rested. It kind of rhymed, didn't it? maybe you're not as talented as another team, but you can outwork them. And if you can't outwork them over a short period of time, maybe you can outwork them for a longer period of time. And when you have extended rest, you have extended timeouts. It's just one factor out of the game that's taken out. So I don't like any of that stuff. As far as the people missing it, I remembered going to a professional baseball game when I was with the Jazz over the summer, and I went to see one guy in particular. I won't name his name, and he sat out. That was a day of rest for him, and I was incensed. And I've never rooted or really particularly cared for that guy since. And fair or unfair, it's just what I believe in. I think people pay to see their favorites. They pay to see guys. They pay to have the best competition you can put on the court on any given night out there, whoever that is. If you're hurt, that's one thing. Then the best 11 guys, go lay it out there. And anything short of that, I think you can say science, you can say championships, you can say whatever. I think we have a duty to be present and lay our best out there every night. And if that's wrong, then I guess I'll have to live with it. I think it's a very important factor, and I hope the league figures out a way to fix it. Because I'd be mad if I went. Well, then there's. I told you it might get windy. I'd be mad if I paid to get to go see one particular guy, and the mailman doesn't play. That's just. I don't know. That doesn't sound very appealing to me. And then what if a team is trying to make the playoffs, and another team's trying to make the playoffs, and a great team sits their guys against one, they win. Plays all their guys against the other one, they lose. I mean, where's the justice in that? So I don't really buy into the science part. Sorry for the long-windedness.
That's okay. But why don't we, let's go play some basketball. Thank you, Mrs. Miller. Thank you, Coach Sloan. Thank you, John, for being here tonight.
Thank you.
Sorry. No.